In the western Amazon, a ceibo tree rises like a cathedral, its crown hosting a universe of diversity. Hummingbirds drone through the canopy, while frogs call from water-collecting bromeliads that hold 50,000 liters per hectare of forest. This isn't merely a tree, it's a living hub of relationships, creating countless microhabitats. Branch crotch bogs, knothole wetlands, and soil deep enough to support full-size trees 50 meters above ground. The forest never falls silent. Insects divide octaves with mathematical precision, birds create a carnival of sound, and monkeys punctuate the acoustic landscape. Amid this beauty lies danger. Bark bristles with weapons, bullet ants deliver excruciating stings, and mosquitoes transmit diseases. Yet this intense struggle doesn't isolate life, but forges networks. The Warani people reflect this understanding, seeing plants through their relationships rather than as isolated species, and valuing community survival over individuality. When lost, they pound on ceibo buttress roots, using the tree as a communication device, fitting for a tree central to their creation story. What would happen if we saw ourselves not as separate from this web, but woven into it? The forest isn't a collection of separate entities, but entirely made from relationship strands, a perspective that challenges our modern tendency to see ourselves as isolated individuals standing apart from nature. In northwestern Ontario, a balsam fir stands 8 meters high, visited by black-capped chickadees. These birds embody the forest's dual nature as both individuals and networks. Their brain's spatial memory centers expand in autumn to remember cache locations, while knowledge flows through social bonds as they learn from flockmates. Like the birds, the balsam fir displays intelligence without a nervous system. Its cells communicate through hormones and signals, adapting to conditions, forming flat fans in shade and upswept shapes in sunlight. Though slower than animal nerves, plant cells use similar electrical signaling. Trees possess memory, responding to damage with defensive resins and recalling seasonal patterns. These memories span generations, with stressed parents producing more adaptable offspring. As Virginia Woolf noted, real life is the common life, not our little separate lives. The forest's intelligence emerges from the whole, different from our own, but intelligence nonetheless. The sable palm exemplifies nature's mastery of coastal adaptation. While humans seek permanence along shorelines, these palms thrive by embracing change. Over millennia, they've learned to surf the shifting sands of barrier islands like waves. Their fruits can survive six-month ocean journeys thanks to air chambers. Their fronds incorporate silica struts for resilience against 100-mile winds, while waxy coatings and salt glands manage salt exposure. Their trunks store 25 liters of fresh water per meter. Seedlings first grow downward, extending a meter underground before curving upward like a saxophone. This underground phase can last 60 years, building energy reserves while protected from threats. These ancient survivors, persisting through roughly 100 generations since the last ice age, demonstrate resilience principles that coastal engineers are now studying. When a green ash tree falls in Tennessee, it becomes a hub of activity. Banded ash borer beetles swarm to lay eggs in the bark, drawn by tannic acids and brown sugar scents. The shattered crown becomes a sanctuary for Carolina wrens, their songs echoing through the wooden tangle. The fallen trunk creates a sunlit corridor, a basking spot for rattlesnakes and a highway for wildlife. Chipmunks and squirrels use it by day, coyotes, opossums, and bobcats by night. In water pools within the split trunk, fly larvae develop through hair-thin surface tubes. A single drop of trunk water reveals microscopic abundance. Double balls track lines, comma-shaped cells snake through, and slipper-shaped cells leave swirling wakes. What we call rot is an explosion of possibility. Decomposition becomes recomposition as the tree regenerates into the forest network. Half of all forest species depend on fallen trees for survival. In Edinburgh, charcoal and nutshell fragments from South Queensferry reveal European hazel's presence from 8354 BCE, Scotland's oldest known human structures. Hazel was vital to hunter-gatherer survival, providing firewood and food. Its abundance in Scottish Mesolithic sites suggests intentional management through coppicing. Hazelnuts were so plentiful that discarded shells carpeted the ground, leading archaeologists to name this the Nut Age. Mesolithic hearths transformed social interaction. While daytime talk focused on practicalities, evening fires sparked stories of community and spirituality. Humans joined jays and rodents as hazel's dispersers, intertwining human and plant histories. This partnership helped hazel recolonize post-glacial lands at 1.5 kilometers yearly, three times faster than oak. The simultaneous arrival of people and hazel in Scotland suggests Northern Europe's forests have always existed alongside humans. Unlike their ancient counterparts, modern hearths disconnect us from our energy sources, hiding what Mesolithic people saw growing in their surrounding woodlands. In Manhattan, a calorie pear tree experiences vibrations 10 times faster through wood than air, feeling subway rumbles through its roots before humans hear them. These vibrations strengthen its roots and wood cells, literally embedding the city within. Under its canopy, higher frequencies stay while bass notes escape. Birds adapt by singing in higher registers to overcome traffic noise, while some species disappear entirely. The tree's cells capture harmful metals like cadmium and mercury, helping clean urban air. New York's 5 million trees remove 2,000 tons of pollutants yearly and transform microclimates, creating shade that keeps pavements 16 degrees cooler. Urban trees face significant challenges, with only 60% surviving their first decade in industrial areas. However, trees planted by residents and given name tags achieve nearly 100% survival rates. As cities grow, human social networks expand superlinearly. Doubled populations create more than doubled connections. Cities accelerate social connectivity while requiring less infrastructure per capita, aligning with our social nature. The Japanese white pine bonsai at Washington's National Bonsai and Penjing Museum tells a remarkable story of survival. Taken from Miyajima Island in 1625, it was tended by the Yamaki family for 350 years and survived the Hiroshima bombing, protected by a wall 3 kilometers from ground zero. In 1976, the family gifted it to the United States. Bonsai brings trees to human scale, allowing us to grasp their majesty. Children connect deeply when seeing centuries of growth in forms as small as themselves. Chinese and Japanese horticulturists understood the power of relationship. The Sakuteki Manual teaches gardeners to embrace each element's wild nature through attention rather than control. Curator Jack Sustick notes that bonsai decenters the self. It's less about me, much more about the tree and the work of people who came before. The Hiroshima bombing revealed energies that transcend destruction, leading to the Yamaki family's gift, a testament to connection over division. There is no nature separate from humanity. We're part of life's community. Trees, as nature's great connectors, teach us that life's beauty lies in relationships, not isolation.